Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports.
Let's go!
The Morning Grind. Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate.
Let's go!
Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday, August 22nd. It's 2017. We have 15 baseball games here on today's slate on FanDuel, 14 baseball games on DraftKings, and I think it's 16. There's a 16 game slate on PlayDraft yet again. As always on Tuesday, my co-host, The Siege. How you doing, buddy?
I'm tired.
I don't want to hear it.
It's your own fault.
Yeah. Well, it won't be tomorrow morning, so I don't want to hear it.
Mister, I decided to watch the Mighty Ducks, and I can't remember what the other movie was.
21, man.
Good oh movie. Yeah, 21. I mean, again, two good movies, but can't be blamed being tired when you watch movies till that hour of the morning.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. Well, we have a much different slate today than we had yesterday. You were just telling me your slate's actually going well. I played one team.
Could go well.
I played one team, and it has Cody Bellinger at 0.3%. Good job, Stevie. I had T-ball practice. My daughter had first T-ball practice tonight, and I just never had a chance to check my lineup that I made earlier in the day, and did not work out well.
Did it have Curtis Granderson at least?
No. It did have Jonathan Scope.
Yeah, but that's not helpful.
The home run was helpful.
Yeah, sure, but you need the grand slam.
You did need the grand slam. If you guys haven't checked out our sponsor, playdraft.com, make sure you head on over there, check them out. It's playdraft.com/grinders for a 100% deposit bonus up to $600. If you haven't checked them out by now, I have no idea what you're doing. We started a slow draft NFL. I talked about it yesterday. I was going to post one. And I'm just kind of curious. I want to get your thoughts on how the first round went here because we're through the first round now. David Johnson went 1. Shocking, I know. Le'Veon Bell, 2. Brown, 3. Julio, 4. And then Beckham, 5. Shady went 6. AJ Green, 7th. Evans, 8. Melvin Gordon, 9. And Freeman, 10.
Seems pretty standard.
I was going to say, not too much.
No. I have Mike Evans higher than Julio Jones. So, number 4 pick, I would take Mike Evans.
That's personal.
But that's a high – like, I think anywhere – like, those are all, like, 4 through, like, 10 are kind of all in the same tier. You can take them in any order.
I feel like I have Julio 4. I feel like the first 4 in any draft are going to be the same. But after that, like, 5 through 10 is going to be different in just, like, every draft.
Yeah, I've even seen Jay Ajayi go in the first. Like, just that whole, like, 10 to 18 group is kind of all just munched together, so.
I didn't know what to do at 6th. I took Shady.
I took my default.
I really was close to taking Melvin. Like, those are the two guys I kind of debated on.
I love Melvin. I can't seem to get Melvin anywhere. Like, I got a lot of early season shares, and just lately I've been drafting kind of 1, 2, 3. So I just haven't been able to get any Gordon shares, but I would like to get one.
The NFL talk is coming, folks. NFL is right around the corner. We will be talking NFL. You just did a NFL package thing for your package, right? A preseason breakdown thing?
I did, yeah. Kind of like how to be using preseason to help yourself get ready for the regular season. And then we're going to have 32 team breakdowns over the next 10 to 15 days. And then win-loss records for all 32 teams as well. It's going to be a lot of videos going up there, only for season-long subs too. So,
Jump in. All right, let's get on this baseball slate. Oakland at Baltimore. Paul Blackburn against Ubaldo Jimenez. 10.5 total here. Baldo a 150 favorite against Oakland. Baltimore got back home, and they decided they wanted to hit some home runs. We talked about them being a good stack yesterday. I'm definitely not playing Paul Blackburn here, right?
Oh, no, not at all.
Thoughts on Ubaldo?
I kind of think he's in play here. It's kind of a cheap option. He's priced at 7,700, which is a little much on DraftKings, but if he's cheaper elsewhere, I kind of like the spot against Oakland. Not a very disciplined team. He can throw pitches in the dirt. You know, faced this team 2 weeks ago and struck out 11 in 5 1/3. So I think there's upside here with Ubaldo. I just don't know if I'm going to go there. I think there's other guys I'd rather fire first.
I think it's fair. I feel like there's like three or four guys that I really like on the slate for pitchers, and I just don't really see myself attacking other guys.
Okay, interesting. I want to see who those are because I don't feel great about anyone.
Well, one is Samardzija, and he's 8,600, and I feel like he's way underpriced.
Okay.
We'll talk about him here in a few minutes.
I can sort of get more on board with that, but I'm not super thrilled about it.
I like the other pitcher in that game too, by the way.
Yeah. Those are two guys I kind of like, but not really.
Let's talk bats here. We'll start with Oakland. One thing that I do want to say is if Pal bats leadoff again, he's an excellent source of value in the top spot. So pissy to home run today.
Who?
Bug Pal, man. He was one of the Seattle prospects that Oakland got in a trade.
Is he leading off today?
Yeah, he led off.
No, he is a pinch hitter. Or no, he was batting ninth.
Oh, and why did I have him as a leadoff hitter?
I don't know.
If he leads off here against the righty, great value play.
Sure.
Why did I think – maybe he – did he lead off on Sunday?
No. Joyce did.
All right. I may just be losing my mind.
Very much possible.
He led off on the 20th. What day was the 20th?
Yesterday.
Sunday.
Okay.
He lead off on Sunday.
Oops.
Making me all right, I'm not okay. I feel a lot better. I don't feel as crazy as I did 5 minutes ago, but was a top prospect for Seattle and was involved in a trade with Oakland. So if he's batting in the leadoff spot, he's definitely a talented player. So would be a nice little value against Ubaldo.
Sure.
Anybody else on the Oakland side?
Not really.
Yeah, I'm looking up and down. Chapman is cheap. I like Olsen, and now that you can play him in the outfield, I probably would have some exposure to him too.
Okay.
And then Baltimore, stack him up.
Yeah, if you're going to play him, they're priced to the nose.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Machado, 55. Beckham, 47. Scope, 47. Jones, 47.
Crush, 42.
We didn't mention Chris Davis with a K on Oakland.
I'm just not playing guys against Ubaldo. Like 14 games, 15 games you're on FanDuel. Other spots I like more.
There you go. Fair enough. All right. Moving on, moving out. Dodgers, Pirates, Brock Stewart against Jameson Taillon. 9 total. Pick 'em game here. Got to watch the weather in this one. This one has a little bit of issues. Brock Stewart getting recalled from AAA when he was up with the big league club, the most pitches he threw in a start was 66.
Yeah, that's not good. I love Josh Bell in this spot, and that's it.
Any interest in Taillon?
No. I think people might go back to Pittsburgh starters, though. He's cheap. He's got talent. And if the Dodgers are without Bellinger one more day, people might just go ahead and roster him.
Yeah, it's just the issue with Taillon is 370 WOBA against lefties this season, and we know the Dodgers just full of lefties.
Yep.
I can't play him in this spot. It's hard to pick – it's really hard to pick on the Dodgers just in general this year.
It really is.
Is there even hitting lefties this year, which where we picked on them last year? Dodgers bats against Taillon, anything really standing out to you here?
If Bellinger plays, I might reevaluate this lineup. Just with him out, it's kind of more of a fade situation.
And then the Pirates, you mentioned Bell. Nothing else really stands out to me here.
Yeah, DraftKings did a good job with Bell. They priced him up.
Yeah, you're probably going to stay away then, right?
Maybe he'll be in one of the pick 'em pools. I can use him over there.
Fair enough. I feel like we have to break down games even further now, like give out all of the plays just in case people want to play pick 'em.
I just bring up the ones that I have random interest and then maybe I can't pay the price tag for that I kind of like.
Fair enough. Yankees, Tigers, Tanaka against Matt Boyd, 10 total here. Tanaka, a minus 172 favorite. Thoughts on Tanaka? First start coming off the DL.
He's either going to give up 10 and 10 home runs, or he's going to pitch really, really well.
He's been a massive home road Switz guy this year, which is so weird pitching in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to look into that, you know.
I kind of want to fade, but.
Well, the reason you don't want to fade is because he has a 24% K rate against righties, and they're just full of righties, and they just, outside of Justin Upton, I don't want to say Miguel Cabrera sucks, but this team's just not.
Miguel Cabrera sucks, just say it.
And he's over the hill.
Yeah.
The last time I called a guy over the hill, though, it was McCutcheon, and he like made me eat my words, so I'm not going to go there.
Well, maybe you'll have to go 2-0 then.
1-1, 1-1. 9,200 price tag for Tanaka is interesting. Successful bullpen Friday. It was only 37 pitches, though. That's the only thing that kind of worries me here. I think we see Tanaka throw 85 pitches.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Like, I really, if it would be a lot easier in this spot if we just knew his pitch count before the start, and we probably won't get that information.
No, probably not.
But that would be ideal. I like this.
Does Tanaka throw a two-seamer? I can't get my stupid password work. No. All right. Cool story.
Yeah, sorry. I was switching plate IQ over for today.
No, you're fine. You're fine. No, he doesn't throw one. So right. Never mind.
Let's talk some bats. You don't like Matt Boyd, right?
He's going to put it together one of these days. And it's going to be a day I stack against him too. I don't know when that day will be. But I promise you it'll be a day I stack against him where he'll finally put it together.
Wouldn't shock me. He's talented. He's not there yet.
No, he's not.
Flyball pitcher against righties, 370 wOBA, 39% hard contact. Like, he's just struggling with righties, and some pretty good right-handed hitters on this lineup.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a really good case they made that the Yankees are not in play. They are firmly in play.
All right, let's talk Yankees bats.
Tyler Austin, 2,900. Just saying.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
What is Hicks?
Hicks is 42.
Oh, man, I love playing Aaron Hicks. Nobody plays him, and he just mashes left-handed pitching.
Judge is 52. Like, they're all priced up there other than our boy.
Tyler Austin. Is he at first base only?
Yeah, which is perfect. No one will roster him.
Yep. Tigers against Tanaka? Like, you can't even stack against him because the bullpen is so good that, like, if he goes out and struggles and gets out of the game early, like, you're getting that bullpen, and they're just too good.
Yeah, you just honestly, like, you would just have to get shelled via the home run early. It's the only way it would work.
Just got a Twitter question. Skaggs or Davies? Skaggs.
God, I have such a bad feeling. But we're recording this earlier than normal. I just want to go on record that I have a bad feeling about Skaggs. There's nothing I can do about it, but I got a bad feeling about it.
I'm sitting at 80 DraftKings points, and I have Stratton and Skaggs.
Should be all right.
So we'll see what happens. With zero from Bellinger. Oh. Doug Fister, Carlos Carrasco, Boston at Cleveland, 9 total here. Zero interest in Fister. What are we doing with Carlos Carrasco here?
I don't think I can go there.
It's just tough.
The price is just insane. I just can't pay that price for a guy who's just not a name against Boston. Like, there's just too much talent in that Boston lineup.
Yeah, you know, you look at Clevinger today, 4 1/3, 4 strikeouts, 4 runs on 4 hits. It's not like he got shelled. But he couldn't strike out the Red Sox, and that's kind of been the thing about the Red Sox this season, right? Like, there's nobody outside of Brock Holt and Jackie Bradley Jr. Those are the only two guys with strikeout rates over 20% against right-handed pitching in this lineup. Like, Hanley even is at 18.8%.
Yeah, I just don't think you can do it.
I think
the thing you have going for him is that he's going to get the win most likely because he's facing a very bad pitcher.
Doug Fister, no bueno.
No, he's not.
I
say that though. He's actually pitched now. This is his third start against Cleveland this year. One of the starts was very good. One of the starts, not so much.
So you're saying the second time around, after he ran good against him, he didn't run good against him.
The third time, a week later, not feeling very optimistic.
Yeah. Third time they've seen him in four starts. Hey, Doug, I'm sorry, bro.
Oh boy.
If Carrasco had a discount for facing the Red Sox, I'd be interested. It's just, I don't think I can go here.
I almost would rather play Devers, Benintendi, and Betts. Like, you're kind of getting discounts on all of them. They're going to be completely unowned. And the upside there is massive. And Andrew Miller just walked off the mound as we started this pod. Like, that takes a huge hit to that Cleveland bullpen.
Yeah, it's a great point.
I don't know. It's kind of an interesting three-man if you're playing in a large field tournament. I don't hate that. It's not going to break the bank either.
And Carrasco's always, over the last 3 years, he's been a lot worse at home.
Yeah, like when he gets hit. It's not like he gets battered. He gets beat around the yard. So
it's so weird when a guy has home road reverse splits. It's so weird. What are we doing with Cleveland here? We just got done saying like it's the third time they've seen him in four starts. The stack's kind of how you have to approach them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If I'm stacking against Fister here, me personally, I'm leaving Lindor off my stack.
I've left Lindor off my Cleveland stack all year, and I won't stop now.
Yeah, 194 ISO, 309 WOBA against right-handed pitching this season.
Yep.
You get that Jose, E5, Jay Bruce kind of stack. If you're playing on, like, fantasy draft, you can add in Carlos Santana, and you get a nice little four-man there.
I'm with you.
You can play both three-mans from this game.
I'm totally with you.
Because it kind of works, right?
I'm totally with you. Kurt Suzuki, by the way, is about to hit a second home run.
Just better.
Hot take. I hope so.
Running good, Kurt. I'm glad we spent 2 minutes yesterday talking about how good Kurt has been against lefties this season.
We called him better than McCutchen, which was a true statement.
And five tweets. Man, you guys are awesome. Now I feel the pressure. Toronto Blue Jays, Tampa Rays, Chris Rowley against Chris Archer. I feel like didn't they just face like these they pitchers?
Did. Yeah, like, this matchup happened 5 days ago, or a week. 5 days ago.
Archer in that game, 10 strikeouts, 7 innings. Chris Archer is my favorite play on the slate today. I don't care what his price is.
Let's see. Let's see, a guy who throws 50% sliders against Toronto. Let me think. Do I have
49.6%?
Let's see, 241 xWOBA against it with a 21% swing strike rate. What do you think, Steve? You think I'm interested in Archer today?
I was hoping he was your number one too. Like I felt like we would be on the same page here. I felt like when you said that you didn't really like Carrasco, it was probably because if you're going to pay up, you're paying up for Chris Archer today.
Yeah, the only pitcher on the slate that I have any good feelings about. So feel free to stack Toronto. Watch him go hit 10 home runs.
And it's at home. Like, this game's at home, too. Like,
I love Archer today. I love Archer today. I'll build a hedge stack just in case because little baseball, but I'm going to be very heavy on the Archer.
Yep. I agree. You pretty much nailed it. 49.6%, slider against righties, 134 ISO, 241 xWOBA, and a 20.5% swinging strike rate. We don't need to say more. We've talked about it multiple times. Smoker Morales, they're really decent against sliders. Everybody else in this lineup is just bad against sliders.
Yep, and if we get beat by those two hitters, we get beat by them.
Yeah, and I feel a lot better about it being in Tampa than I did when I did it in Toronto. And, I'm going right back to the well here.
Yep, couldn't agree more.
I like none of the Blue Jays bats. You could make an argument for Smoke and Morales, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, Morales would be the only one. It has nothing to do with baseball. It has to do with, oh my God.
He has BVP, right?
No, if he has BVP, I actually will really have to play him.
I'm pretty sure he has BVP against Archer.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh, don't tell me that.
He profiles amazing against him, right?
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, he's 16 for 28, 3 home runs, 6 doubles, and only 4 strikeouts. Like, that's the guy.
Would you like to know his DraftKings price?
$2,800.
Lower.
Oh, shit.
Well,
honestly, I'm not going to lie. There might be a couple lineups I make that have Archer with Morales.
$2,500.
I know. I looked at it. After you said lower than 28, I pulled it up.
You were like, he has to be kidding me.
Yeah.
If my lives don't have Archer, pretty safe bet they're going to have Kendrys Morales on them.
I might have some lineups of both.
Hard to argue with it, to be honest.
You know, if I get 25, 28, and the home run or the run he gives up is, you know, Morales, okay.
He's well-rested, too. Didn't play the field in that Cubs series. Got to work in the cage a little bit. Was struggling a little bit.
Archer dominates the Blue Jays, by the way.
I know. I'm literally worried about Kendrys Morales. That's it.
Yeah. That's
what I'm worried about.
Like, they've hit some home runs against him, but.
Okay.
In 259 at bats, I would hope they'd have some home runs with all these power bats in the lineup.
Yeah.
But, I honestly don't hate Archer and Morales. That frees up a ton of ton of salary here. Raise bats against Rolly. We don't have a lot of data on this guy outside of the fact they just saw him. No home runs against him. Only one extra base hit by Hecha Rivera. That was it.
Yeah.
He walked a bunch of people. He walked 5 guys in that game. He had 3 strikeouts against Tampa. I don't know. It's a 15-game slate. Like, I like Kiermaier in the leadoff spot, and that's about it.
I don't hate the stack. If you're playing this, it's a stack for me.
Yeah.
Rowley and that bad Toronto bullpen. Like, they do have a run total near 5. I think the stack is firmly in play.
Yeah, isn't Bagini still in the bullpen, too? He's been struggling big time.
I'm pretty sure
he's their long guy.
I think he has a start coming up. I remember in waivers, I think I went to go pick him up because he had a start this week. Yeah, he's not listed in the Toronto bullpen, so I'm pretty sure he has a start coming up.
Or he finally got sent back down.
No, he's got a start coming up. I'm pretty sure. Let me get up his Roto World
page. All right, fair enough. Cubs, Reds, we got John Lackey against Homer Bailey, 10 total. In Cincinnati, John Lackey, a -154 favorite here. Do you like Lackey?
No. And he was demoted to the minors to be stretched out again. He's coming up this week.
Okay, there you go. So we were both similar. Both right.
Yeah.
Both similar, right. I don't like Lackey here.
I want to stack this game up in every way. What's the total, did you say?
10.
It's about 6 runs too low.
Good BVP for the Reds against Lackey. Good PVP for the Cubs against Bailey. Shocking. I know. Everyone is so shocked that is the case here.
These teams go off against each other every time. They just played a game in Wrigley, and I know the wind was blowing out. That was like 13-10.
This is probably one of my favorite game stacks on the slate.
Absolutely, and I don't think it's going to be anything sneaky. I don't think that we're be going on a limb here by saying that this game stack is firmly in play.
Yeah, but, you know, we have to do our jobs, and our job is to point it out, and I'm definitely pointing it out.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely pointing it out, that's for sure.
I don't even think we need to go into individual bats. I like 1 through 7 on both sides.
Yeah, I actually don't even have a problem with the 8 hitters on either side.
Yeah, that's true. Scott Schebler's back, man. I love playing that guy.
God,
against Lackey, too. Oh, buddy.
Stack it up. 150 Cubs Red stacks. Click.
All right, moving on. Arizona at New York, taking on the Mets. Patrick Corbin against Tommy Malone. 9 total and 2 lefties taking each other on here. Corbin at -142. Any interest here?
All right, Diamondbacks, don't screw with me again. Like, haha, on Monday. Don't do it again to me today, will you?
Okay, right, against Tommy Malone. Corbin.
You can't. Too many righties.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What, five? Six?
Seven. I think it literally could be seven with Conforto.
Yeah, or they have to leave Dom Smith in there.
But, yeah, they could play as Drupal at first.
That they could. Arizona Bats.
1-7.
I think I could leave Peralta out of a stack.
Sure. But I think everybody would do that instinctively.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what his price is. I'm pulling it up really quick. Yes, he's 45. I would rather play Cespedes on the other side for 43.
Yeah, I guess I would play Brandon Drury at 3,600 first, or Chris Iannetta at 3,200 if he cracked the lineup.
All right, looking at the Mets, Cespedes and Flores.
There or no, 2,800, gonna bat fifth.
Oh, yeah, I always forget about him, and then I start doing my research, and I'm like, man, I forgot to talk about that guy in the podcast, but he's mashing lefties this season. He has a 412 WOBA, 263 ISO against left-handed pitching this season. I always feel bad that I forget about him and then think about him when I'm doing, like, my, you know, lineup breakdowns.
Yep.
That's kind of it, right? Like, those three guys?
That's it. Let's move on.
Marlins, Phillies. This is the second half of the doubleheader. Jose Urena against Nicholas Pivetta. This game's in Philadelphia. Seven total.
Massive weather problems.
Again, another doubleheader with massive weather problems.
And it's too bad, too, because I actually would have interest in the pitching.
It's a very, very interesting, like, pitchers here. But, like, from what we're seeing, it's like 80%, then 30%, then 80%, then 30%, then 80, then 60. Like, you know, that's tough, especially for pitchers.
18-mile-an-hour wind blowing in, and it's 56 degrees.
Yep. We'll have to obviously see what Kevin Roth says. So let's talk really quick about this game. Jose Urena is a guy that I still don't think I can play.
Depends how many lefties Billy rolls out.
Williams, Galvis.
Cesar.
Three.
And I don't count Kim. Kim's awful.
Yeah, so three. Yeah, Hoskins is starting to hit the ball, by the way. We talked about this guy for a month. He's finally starting to mash.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Like, I've been getting the alerts of him hitting home runs over the weekends, and it's just like, finally, this guy's starting to do what we talked about, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, for sure.
What about Pivetta?
I like him. You know, right-handed heavy team for the Marlins. A lot of strikeouts. You know, they can hit the ball a long way, but it's pretty hard to hit the ball a long way when it's 56 with the wind blowing in your face at 18 miles an hour.
Fair enough. Any bats from this game?
Hell no.
There's a reason this total is seven.
Yeah, with Urena and Pivetta.
Knock on wood. Like, seven total with Urena and Pivetta in Philadelphia.
That's really all you need to know.
If this game didn't have weather issues or like weather,
I would be all in Pivetta if this game had no weather issues.
I'm telling you, man. Seattle and Atlanta, Marco Gonzalez against Luke Sims, 10.5 total here, and it is a straight up pick 'em.
Straight up home run derby.
Luke Sims this season, very small sample size. He's really, really struggled with lefties. Numbers against righties, not much better. 380 WOBA, 37% hard contact. Marco Gonzalez, a lefty against Atlanta. We'll talk about that in a second. Small sample size for him, but he has the highest WOBA on the slate against right-handed hitters. So obviously we want to play bats in this game. We'll start with Seattle. Alonso, Cano, Cruz, Seager.
If Cruz plays, gotta watch that lineup.
And Haniger, if not.
Yep.
Or Haniger if they both play.
Yep.
Did Cruz play today? I didn't even check.
He did not.
Fair enough. You mentioned that yesterday too.
They're fighting for the wild card. I almost would be surprised if they hold on to this game today. I'd be surprised if we see them tomorrow.
Yeah, fair enough. Braves.
Yes.
Kurt Suzuki.
I doubt he plays, but wouldn't it be great? Come on, Tyler Flowers. Learn how to play first base, will ya?
Right.
Get open there.
Right. Freeman can play third.
Yeah. Get that double catcher stack on fantasy draft.
Oh, buddy. Ozzy Albies. Another guy that I like in the spot. You talked about him yesterday. He had a triple right before he jumped on the pod. Another spot that I like him. You know, I like any righty that cracks the lineup outside of Brandon Phillips. I have interest in.
I even have interest in Brandon Phillips.
Yeah, fair enough.
We'll play him over Albies. He's finally superstar prospect, finally getting it. You know, it was overmatched a little bit, but he's made adjustments and he's starting to hit the ball really hard.
Yeah, and the good thing is they're both second base, and Albies is $1,100 cheaper than Brandon Phillips on DraftKings. So you play Albies,
and then you don't feel bad about it.
Then you know exactly what I'm doing. That's for sure. And then Freddie Freeman is always in play, even in the lefty-lefty matchup. The guy's just good. You know, hate to say it, the guy is one of the best. He's probably top five hitter in baseball.
Hate to say it? Like, why? You don't enjoy watching him?
I enjoy watching the hell out of him. He's one of my favorite players to watch in baseball.
I know. It was just surprising you say that, like, sadly, he's still good.
No, I was being super sarcastic.
Okay. I didn't come off that way. So last thing I needed you to get was Freddie Freeman hate tweets.
I've been on Freeman for 3 years.
I understand that. I just didn't want you to get hate tweets when it's one of your favorite players. I know that. The listeners might not know that. Maybe we have new listeners. In which case, it's your first time listening. Hello, welcome.
Yeah, welcome to listeners. What the hell have you been doing for the last year and a half?
See, that's not nice.
I think they would laugh at that. They're driving in their car, laughing, hey, maybe I should have been listening to the podcast.
That's true.
Nationals, Houston Astros, 9 total here. Tanner Roerick against Houston and Charlie Morton against Washington. Definitely don't want Tanner Roerick in this spot.
I definitely do want Charlie Morton.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting spot for Morton. This lineup without Harper is just night and day.
It's going to look better because they're going to be able to DH Lind and play someone in the outfield, I guess Stevenson.
Diaz, right?
Well, Diaz's going to play anyways.
Yeah.
They can't put Lind in left field in Houston. Just kidding. So, they're going to have Lind DH. Zimmerman will play first, Murphy second, Defoe short, Rendon third, Weeters will catch. And it'll be Diaz, Taylor, and Stevenson, I would guess. It could be play Stevenson.
We could see Trey Turner back by the end of the week, by the way.
Well, that's great. As long as he's not coming back today, nope. That's great because I love Charlie Morton in this spot. The lefties, we know Houston's a good part for lefty power. Just really worried about Murphy and Lind. But every lineup has guys you're worried about. The upside here has the Houston offense back at supporting him. I like Morton's chances at a win here.
Yeah, fair enough. I think he's a great tournament play, that's for sure. Let's talk bats. Nationals, we mentioned Murphy and Lind. If you're not playing Morton, those are probably the two guys you're looking at.
Yeah.
And you're probably not
going to get shelled. This ump will not call a strike. Sorry, what were you saying?
I was going to say, if you're not playing Morton, you're probably looking at Lind and Murphy. And now you can finally play Lind in the outfield, so maybe he is a guy you can look at.
But can you play him in the outfield on DraftKings?
Yeah, they finally changed it.
Woohoo! Yeah.
At first base, I didn't really see a lot of interest, but being able to play him in the outfield, then he's definitely.
I love the bottom of the order Houston stack. Love, 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 love. The Marwin, the Reddick, Marwin, Fisher, Centeno stack. It's cheap, gets you lefties against Tanner Roark. Love it.
I do want to throw caution here. Houston is one of the most. They're awesome. I don't want to say anything like that, but Tanner Roark this season against righties, 55.6% ground ball rate and a 24.9% hard contact rate. So much worse against lefties. So I like your call on stacking the bottom. Just wanted to throw that out there. If you're wanting to pay up for these, Springer, Altuve, Bregman guys, you throwing the caution out there. That's all I'm doing.
I'm with you.
Twins, White Sox, Kyle Gibson, Lucas Giolito. 10.5 total here is too high.
No, it's too low.
Too high.
the White Sox bullpen is done. Carson Fulmer didn't get out of the second. And this is the back end of a doubleheader.
Oh, didn't get out of the second inning.
Like the twin stack might be the top stack on the board.
Why is it 10.5? Is the wind blowing out?
It's because Giolito's a freaking prospect that has proved nothing.
Kid's good.
So is Carson Fulmer, and he doesn't get out of the second. If Giolito can't get out of the third, what's the ups? What's the like? The Twins could score 20.
Wind's blowing out in Chicago.
The bullpen is done. Gassed. Giolito, like, yeah, he could absolutely destroy this Twins lineup, but it's not like there's a ton of strikeouts here. If they start getting hit after hit after hit, this could get ugly really fast.
Yeah, that's a definite point. It's super fair. It's just this kid, he's good.
I understand that, but if he was that good, he wouldn't be getting called up on August 21st.
Yeah, he needed more time in the minors.
Because he's not ready.
He's ready now. We'll see.
My point, I get it. I understand he's free, and he certainly has upside. There's no denying that. Like, there's just no way on this slate you can use him as part of your core.
He's not free. 6,100.
He's less than Homer Bailey. I consider that free.
That's true. Wind's blowing out in Chicago.
Like, he's the cheapest pitcher I would play. He's got that going for him.
Yeah.
I just can't, like, as a hedge, because I'm probably gonna have a lot of Twins. Like, I just can't see myself. Like, I mean, the bullpen's done.
No, it's super fair point.
And Kobe's getting shelled now in the top of the fourth. Like,
oh jeez. Hey, but Lucas,
Now, granted, that provides some upside for Lucas. If he throws well, they're certainly going to leave him out there.
Oh, he's at 100? Yeah. Can you give us one more inning, please?
I mean, here, let me just go look. I knew a bunch of relievers went in the day game, but let me just see how many actually threw.
While you do that, Lucas Giotto, 12.1% swing and strike rate, 24% K rate in the minors this season, a 3.85 xFIP. Again, his problem when he got caught up at Washington last year was walks, and he has a 10.7% walk rate in the minors this season. That is the most concerning thing when we're worried about the bullpen issue. It's just not what you want to see.
So Rodon pitched well, 6 1/3, 2 earned runs, 9 Ks. These are the relievers that came in after him. Farquhar threw an inning. Derek Collins threw 1/3 of an inning, gave up 3 earned runs. Patrika and Manaea. And now they're already into Kobe. In the fourth, like, this bullpen is done. Like, every guy they have is gonna throw in this game.
Yeah, fair. Good points. I'm glad you brought that up. Zero interest in Kyle Gibson, even against the White Sox, right?
Yeah, no.
All right, let's talk bats. You mentioned the Twins. We got Dozier. We got Kepler. Sano went to the DL. Eddie. What's that?
Vargas. My boy.
Your boy. Yeah, he got called up. Eddie Rosario, too.
Yeah, 3,400 for the Vargas monster.
Is Rosario cheap? I doubt it.
No, 4,500.
Still in play for me, though. He's been crushing.
Yeah.
He's Escobar. 18 for his 42. He's batting .429 with 3 home runs over the last 10 games.
That's good.
Yeah, and in a spot with the wind blowing out against a Triple-A pitcher. Highly talented prospect. Highly talented. We'll see what happens.
Fair enough.
Looking at the White Sox, anything standing out to you here against Kyle Gibson?
No, Delmonico's finally priced up, so not really.
Yeah, I like Jose Abreu against fly ball pitchers. Kyle Gibson is a ground ball guy, 58% ground ball rate against righties this season, so I'm just not seeing a bunch here. Like, if I was going to play him, it'd be a stack because it's Kyle Gibson.
Let's move on to the next game. I think this game's interesting.
Rockies, Royals, John Gray against Danny Duffy, 9 total. Duffy, a -118 favorite. What's interesting here?
Danny Duffy kind of intrigues me here. He's been bad.
been bad. But this is a major park downshift for Colorado. We know Colorado's not as good on the road as they are at home. And the strikeouts have been there for Duffy. Even though he's been giving up some hits, like 8 Ks in each of his last three, and we know the Rockies can strike out. I kind of just feel like there's some tournament upside here. 7,600, like the price is so cheap.
Can I point out something? Because I do like Duffy. He was one of my four guys.
Oh, really? Shit.
2.9 XFIP against Oakland. 2.31 XFIP against Chicago White Sox. BABIPs, the last five games. 417, 368, 290, 333, 290, 474. His K per nine has been double digits in three straight.
Yeah, I like this spot for tournaments. Thanks for providing the data to support my hunch.
No, yeah. You know, your hunch was right. Like, whatever it was when he came back from the DL, it's looking like he's getting over that. Looking at his velocity and stuff like that, you know, just looking at his graphs and stuff, it's looking like whatever was going on, his velocity is really starting to push back up towards that 95-mile-an-hour range, which what it was this earlier this season was in the 95 to 98 range. So it's starting to climb in the right direction.
That's always what you want to see.
It is. I think he's starting to get healthy. And let's jump on before everybody else does. Colorado coming out of Coors. I like it.
Yeah. Thanks enough.
Hey, get around Nolan Arenado.
Thanks, Red Sox bullpen, for blowing the damn lead.
Like, outside of Nolan Arenado, who are you really worried about?
I mean, like, there's guys who have home run upside, but it's not like that everyone can strike out, too.
Like, Duffy's just death to lefties, even when he's been struggling.
Yeah.
You know, 217 WOBA, 51% ground ball rate, two home runs in 26 innings against lefties this season.
I'm with you.
So, John Gray, we've gotten into the point where the Royals are just not striking out again.
Yeah, John Gray isn't generating strikeouts.
Yep. So I think I can pass on Gray. I don't see any bats in this game.
I don't either.
Like, because you're not playing Arenado at 49 outside of Coors, Blackman 53 against a lefty, Mark Reynolds 43. Like, I can keep going. There's just nobody cheap enough to play.
I'm with you.
You're going to play anybody that's Moustakas at 4,100, but that's about it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
San Diego Padres, St. Louis Cardinals, Clayton Richard against Lance Lynn. You know, your boy, Clayton Richard.
Come back to me once I know the umpire. I'll tell you, if the umpire gives a low strike, I'm going to be playing Clayton Richard. If he does not, I will be playing the Cardinals stack. It's a really simple game. It really is.
First game of the series, too, so we don't have that information yet.
Yeah, I'll find it.
No, I'm saying, like, if it was the second game, we'd have an idea who's umpiring.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Like, great umpire against Philly, went out there and threw a gem. Like, he really just comes down to the umpire, which is so stupid. But
hey, if you're going to get the low strike and you're going to work low, you know, that's why he has a high ground ball rate.
Yeah, and if he can't get low, then
he's going to get shelled. Lance Lynn.
Solarte's going to get – Solarte BVP? I feel like I've used BVP.
I have it open. Let me look.
I have it open. I just have to scroll ways down. I haven't looked at it in a bunch of games. Solarte, 1-for-8. Okay, I guess not.
Yeah, just looking at his lineup, I don't think Lance Lynn's the worst play in the world.
I just don't think he's got the upside compared to these other guys. Like, I think I'm going to slate this big and I'm going to want to chase some more upside. Like, if Lance Lynn had pitched – on the Monday slate, I would have had a lot more interest in him than I do on this slate.
Yeah, it just depends on how many righties is in the lineup.
That's fair.
Like, if Spannenberg, Solarte are the only two lefties, I'm trying to think. Don't they have another lefty? Solarte, Spannenberg. I feel like they have another lefty. But if we get 5-6 righties, like, that definitely increases the upside for Lance Lynn. Ever since they moved Will Myers down in that, like, 5-6 hole, he's just been terrible.
I just don't really have – I just don't like cross-training Lance Lynn at all.
I know you don't.
Really don't.
I played him against Boston his last start. I played him against Boston his last start.
Didn't he get shelled?
He pitched really good and got BABIP in like the fifth or sixth inning and gave up like five hits.
They weren't BABIP. Doubles into the gaps are not BABIP.
You did not watch that baseball game then.
He gave up a couple singles and then he kept getting shelled gap to gap. Devers hit a shot that was like 2 inches short of a home run.
Yeah, he did not get the strikeouts I was hoping for against the righties of Boston.
You can't strike him out.
Again, Carlos Carrasco against the Boston Red Sox. Probably not a good play. Bats from this game, anything really standing out to you here?
No.
Let's see what umpire we get for Clayton Richard. Texas Rangers, Los Angeles Angels. We got Tyson Ross against Ricky Nolasco. 9.5 total here in L.A.
Angel stack. I'm sorry. What? Oh, sorry.
Mike Trout is good at baseball, and Tyson Ross is not good at baseball.
Man, once again, Stevie coming at you with a hard
hit. That's a hot take, bro. That's what I'm here for.
You know what? I will say, though, like Tyson Ross has been doing a good job not giving up the home run ball lately. Well, mostly because he's been walking everybody. But, you know, hey, got to find positives, right?
He has 15 walks allowed in his last three games. Of course,
only he has one home run. That's one good way to keep those home runs down.
Like, all right, who's up to bat? All right, Springer, ball one, ball two, ball three, ball. Oh, all right, there we go. I don't give up a home run.
Altuve.
I'll pitch around him.
Double into the gap, scores one. Reddick, ball one, ball two, ball three, ball four.
You want to know what's even crazier? In the Chicago and Houston game, he had a 267 BABIP and a 235 BABIP.
Oh, he ran good.
He ran good in those games, and he gave up six earned runs.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Angel stack. I'm sure it's free, too.
Like, he has two decent starts this season, and one of them was against the Angels, for what it's worth.
Yeah, let's see. Mike Trout, most expensive player in this game, and then the next nine guys are Texas, and they're all free. Yeah, you could just stack. Yeah, just stack the Angels.
I've been playing Valbuena a lot. I've been playing Simmons a lot, too. Sneaky.
Simmons is free. $3,700 apiece for those guys. Maven's $3,500. Calhoun's $3,500. CJ Crone's $3,400.
If I remember correctly, Tyson Ross is terrible at holding on runners, too.
Pretty sure he is, but I don't have that in front of me.
No, I don't either.
It looks like the Angels have four steals against them and 75 plate appearances, so I'm going to assume he's bad.
I'm pretty sure Derek Carty told me that Tyson Ross is bad against holding on runners. I'm sure
Derek would be right too. So
he has. I would love his access to the data that he has for the running holding on runners and stuff. I don't really see myself stacking against Nolasco. Like even though Nolasco has been bad this season, like. He's still he gets matched by righties. Don't get me wrong. Let me be fair. But the lefties just haven't really shelled him this year.
This total is very high.
9.5 in Los Angeles is high.
Yeah. I'm going to have to relook at this. I got to kind of see what the Houston lineup or the Texas lineup comes out looking like. And then I'll kind of make an evaluation based on that because we don't know if Gallo's going to play like. I just kind of got to see what the line
is. I'm playing the late slate, by the way. I think there's like an 8 o'clock slate, and it includes the 10 o'clock games. I definitely have some interest in, you know, both these teams.
The 10 p.m. only slate is really easy chalk.
Yeah, stack the Angels, Rangers, and play the pitchers from the other game.
You might want to play that in the 8 p.m. slate and get it low around, just saying.
All right, let's talk that late game here. We got the Brewers. We got the Giants. We got Jimmy Nelson against Jeff Samardzija. 8 total, and it's really close to a pick 'em. Jimmy Nelson in -110 favorite.
Both these pitchers firmly in play. Nelson and Samardzija. Don't love either spot. You know, the Giants have been kind of making more contact, although as I say that, Zach Davies just struck out 2 in the first. But I do worry about the lefties here against Jimmy Nelson. We know that's his struggle side, and there's going to be at least 6 in this lineup, which isn't all that ideal for me, but he's been much better this year. So he's a guy firmly in play. The price, though, is a little up there at 11K. Not sure I'm going to be able to afford that if I want to play some Cubs and Reds. Other side, the Shark comes in a lot cheaper, 8,600, but I think that play will be extremely popular. And we know the Brewers, of course, can swing and miss, but they can also hit the ball a long way.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And like the Giants, ever since they called these guys up, the strikeout rates have gone up.
Yep, that's true too.
I don't see any bats in this game. There's just nothing that I'm playing here, like whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
Like you can always make an argument for Thames and Shaw, but I still can't do that in this ballpark.
I can't either.
That's kind of it. And I'm definitely not getting the Bellinger pinch hit, by the way. This would have been second and third, two outs in the top of the 10th. And
they would have walked him.
Austin Barnes got the call for the pinch
hit. They would have walked him, though.
Yeah, well.
They're saving him.
I would have taken my 2 points. All right, let's play some Home Run Derby, and then we're going to get out of here. I like this slate. It's a good slate.
Yeah, Home Run Derby is going to be fun.
You went first yesterday, right?
No, because you took Healy off the bat, didn't you?
I can tell you. Hold on.
Yeah, why don't you tell us what our picks were?
You went first yesterday with J.D. Martinez, and I vetoed you, and you took Jonathan Scope.
Well, that was a good decision.
Then you took Devers and Corey Seager.
Yeah, those are not good decisions.
I took Grandal, Mancini, and McCutcheon, and I think I would have taken all three of those guys yet again.
All right, so we were terrible yesterday. Great. The one day we actually recap is the one day we're terrible. Standard.
Yeah, good. Need to let people know we sucked.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Home Run Derby. I want so many people today. Let's see.
I want the entire player pool.
All right, I'm going to lock in a home run really quick and say Anthony Rizzo.
It's like, how good is the BVP? Are the listeners going to get mad at me if I don't veto?
I don't know. Is there BVP? I really didn't look.
I didn't look either.
Looking now, though. Now I'm curious.
The listeners will be pretty mad if I let this one go. I'm going to veto this. Like, BVP is too good to let you have.
8 for 21, 2 home runs, yeah.
6 walks, 2 strikeouts. I can't let you have that.
All right, well, then I'll go right to the other side and say Joey Votto.
Yeah, I'd much rather you have Joey Votto.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm going to go ahead and lock up a home run right now if I can go back and find the guy because I started sifting through tabs. I should take notes during the podcast. Gary Sanchez.
All right.
And then I'm going to go with Jay Bruce.
I'm not going to let you have Bruce.
I think so. Okay, I'm going to go a little more off the board. I'm going to go Zach Cozart.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I'm going to say I don't want to go with another first baseman. So I'll say J.D. Martinez.
Probably going to hit one since he let me down yesterday.
And all right, let's go off the board here. Ooh, I'm going to go Ozzie Albies.
Oh, you jerk! That's what I was going to do.
Oh, it means that people should play him. He's going to be picked by both of us. All
right, I'm going to go back to Yonder Alonso.
I am really shocked.
Yeah, if Cozart doesn't play too, then take Shoveler. He's day-to-day. Hopefully he'll play. It's a good spot for him.
I am really shocked that you didn't take a home run from Minnesota and Chicago.
I think it's doubles by death, to be honest.
All right, fair enough. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Yeah, this is going to be a good slate. I mean, this is one of those slates that's going to be tough to just play one team.
If anything happens in the late slate, we're sorry. We're recording this early. Appreciate you. Working with my schedule here, kindergarten is fun, and getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning is even more fun. So we're going to get out of here. If you guys haven't checked our sponsor, make sure you head on over there, check them out. The Diamondbacks finally starting to score some runs. That's good. All right, we're getting out of here. Good luck tonight, guys, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Whether you're entering 1 or 100 lineups into a contest, you need to be using our RotoGrinders Lineup Builder and Optimizer. The Optimize setting creates the best possible lineup given your projections and player pool, both of which are customizable. The Build setting is intended for tournament players and will create up to 150 lineups in seconds, all based on your filters and exposure settings, and then export them for use on FanDuel or DraftKings. Spend less time building lineups and more time enjoying the game. Use Lineup Builder today.